you have to take over. It's all breaking up. I can't understand anybody anymore.
Okay. All right.
Take care.
All right.
Hey, David and Madeline, thank you so much for being here.
Nice.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Hey, did we win or lose tonight?
No, you know what? He sprained a couple of fingers this morning, so he's not playing.
Oh. Glad to have you here, Heist.
Thank you, man.
This is Heist. I've been just feeling real.
I'm currently on my cell phone. I couldn't get in. I tried a dozen of times.
Mary.
You've got the music too loud.
Yeah, I need to be back down a little bit. He's still on it.
Music on it.
I can hear you, Carla.
Okay, I'll just relax.
There's just too many people. It's too loud. Much better. Much better with the music.
Can you even hear it?
Now we can't hear the music at all.
Hi, this is Larry. What's going on?
Hello, welcome to Monday Night Call. Please say your name and location when we get a chance.
Hey, hi, this is Edna.
Hi, Edna.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, what happened to you? Are you there?
I just got back, yes, and my cell phone dropped out.
Oh, okay. Are you going to greet people now, or did you want me to still...
Please do it, Marilyn, if you want.
Yes. All right. I'll mute myself.
All right. I welcome the people who join in. By the way, it's 6:04 next win. Do you want to start off?
No, but
it's a 1 hour only show.
Hello.
I can barely hear you in. I can barely hear you.
How about me? Can you hear me? This is Carla.
Yes, hi, Carla. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thanks for being here, Carla.
Well, thank you very much.
Is his ring back? I guess Vin's from town.
He's looking for his phone. Another phone. Get another.
Okay, he was on Skype, right? Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Rin.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why. Ray Wheeler, I'm on the road, so I don't have your best telephone today. But I will keep watching. Hi, do you want to mute everybody?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't mean mute them. I meant, turn off the tones. Yes, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, once I got to start the recording. What's today's date? Today is
it's
what?
28.
Are you? Okay. Now, I got to
record. Call if you do, Will.
Pardon me?
Say, call if you do. Did you hear?
Yeah, but Terry's not here, is she?
I'm here.
No?
Yeah. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is Daphne there? Is Daphne there? Daphne, you got to speak up. You're really, really low, okay?
Daphne is on top of the phone. Hello, hello.
Hey there.
Stay where you are.
Hey there.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear Terry. I can hear Carla.
Terry, you're really well.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is the 28th, correct? Did you say 28th,
yes.
Carla? Yeah. This is January 28th, 2012. When in Arizona.
When you've got the wrong
Terry
year,
is,
sir. It's 2013.
Oh, well, I got the
that's a day, right?
We're in Arizona.
What's a digit here?
And
you're fading out, Gwen.
All right, I got to go to my cell phone. Sorry.
Same thing for you, Sherry, right? He's fading out for
pardon?
You.
Pardon? What?
Yes. You are very loud, Terry. You might maybe back up a little bit.
Okay.
On the microphone.
Is this better?
Yes. You're still loud, so.
So loud? Okay.
It's okay.
Loud as
and good. I think, so when it's going to get to me, probably will start. I'm going to stop the recording.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Okay, I'm back. Am I okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but the
that's great. I stopped the recording, so we'll start over, okay?
I will start over.
Ready?
This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everybody. This is Winfrey in Arizona, Sherry Brown in Sedona, Carla Ruckert in Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Kentucky and Daphne in Half Moon Bay, and this is our Monday night conference call, and this is January 28th, 2013. Yeah, got it, okay? And, you know, there's something going on which some people call shift symptoms, and you know, we've been talking for years now about the fact that there's going to be this high energy coming into our planet, and it's going to cause changes. And we've been talking about what those changes mean. And what I notice is that everybody's experiencing them differently. Some people are having super breakthroughs. Everything's flowing great, and other people are dizzy and going through feelings in their bodies. And it's good to have a call like this because many of our calls are really, who is that laughing?
That was Jim. Jim just brought me a beautiful dinner.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. We got an email from someone this afternoon that has just had this huge shift for the positive. You know, what I notice is, and I tell people it works this way. When you're going through a lot of garbage and you think it'll never end, don't run away from it, because it'll come to an end. And letting that garbage all surface is really good, because it's helping you to release it. And I'm getting emails from people now that are absolutely having that experience. They were going through stuff for a long period of time. And the thing about it, when you're going through stuff, it feels like it'll never end. It feels like it's going to go on and on and on and on, and that's who you are. But this particular case, at least many people are going through stuff, and suddenly it's like they pop through, what would you call it?
A trouble bubble.
Screen. They pop through a bubble, did you say, Carla?
A trouble bubble.
A trouble bubble?
Uh-huh.
Okay, they pop through a trouble bubble, and suddenly it's clear sailing. And there's no explanation for it. It's non-linear. But part of it is your willingness to endure. Because when you're going through garbage, when you're going through that stuff, there's a great tendency to want to run away from it and to find some kind of distraction. And there's all kinds of ways to distract yourself. And it feels like distractions give you temporary relief, but it doesn't stick, and you go back to it again until finally you endure and you go through it, and you're a new person. And it's good to have these kinds of calls because this is happening for everyone, including Daphne, Carla. I don't know if this is happening to Terry. She might have been above all of this. And it doesn't faze her. But she's sailing on top of the matrix of this energy. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you going through any what you would call shift symptoms? I don't hear you. Are you there?
Okay, I got muted. Well, it seems to me like
we don't hear you.
How do I unmute it?
Okay,
I don't know.
Lisa,
okay.
You're unmuted again.
Good. I have my own growth program, it seems like, and it's just when anything comes up, then I work on it and attempt to work it out. And but as far as being influenced by the stars, I can feel the impetus coming into me, but then I just work with it, like to dismiss it, like if it's an adverse influence, or if it's some kind of a symptom or dizziness or something like that, I just work to see the cause of it. I just attempt to go to the cause of it and then kind of catalog where it's coming from. So I really haven't noticed a bunch of ascension symptoms or anything like that.
You know, the great thing about these new energies is that they're very pliable. They're very, like, permeable. You know, we talk about the veil of forgetting, and at least I have found it to be true lately that I sure have had a lot of catalysts lately, but the more you practice seeing a positive, construe it positively, the more positive things you see. It's like, I think if you chose to construe it negatively, then you would start to see more negative things. It's a very subjective universe right now, more so than it used to be. That's what I've experienced about the shift, is that I am more able to get to my affirmations and to get to the heart of who I am. And, you know, I am as I am, and I can get there and make the affirmations that have to do with very deep things like being healed. And I just affirm that I'm ready to be healed. and I would be glad to be healed, and I intend to be healed. And I say those two or three times, and I get stronger. And then I go ahead and deal with what's happening to me, which is usually much more on the surface and not apparently having to do with a deeper lesson. But it seems like there's so much on the surface that just roils the water and confuses you unless you are working to construe catalyst to a positive way. So as Terry said, to see the reason for stuff, you know, where did it come from? Why did it happen? You know, I have things happening to me right now that are so odd. They're just plain odd. And I think to myself, well, this feels like almost an attack. But it's really not. This person has nothing but goodness in his heart. He's a little bit on the naive side, shall we say, and he's plunging ahead regardless of other people's plans and so forth and so on. And you could say he wasn't being very considerate, okay? But how do I construe that? Do I construe that as, oh, my heavens, my plans are going to get mixed up? Or do I construe it to, I've seen how everything always works out. It isn't it going to be great to see how this works out? And just leave it there, because I can't do anything more with it than that. But it's construing it in a positive way. And that means that the next time something happens, I'll have even more chances of seeing it in a positive sense. That's sort of how I've been working with the shifted energies. There's a lot more information coming around, but it's not necessarily clear on the surface. So if you know what your incarnational lessons are, you know, you can always just drop everything, go and do a little deep work real quick, and then get back on the surface and deal with what's happening with the people that are happening to you and so forth and so on. It's sort of a dance, you know. It's a dancing with the catalyst.
Dancing with the catalyst.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see. Daphne uses the word ascension symptoms. Except, you know, when I spoke to Carla earlier, she and I have both the same prejudice about the word ascension. Even though ascension was used particularly at the beginning of the work I was doing with Daphne, and even though it was used with David Wilcock, where his website was called Ascension 2000 when he first put himself on the map. And in his website, his original website, he was saying this is going to be this great event that's going to happen in the year 2000, and that all of humanity was going to move to a new level. Now, for whatever David does right, even then, that didn't make sense to me. You know, there's a lot of people that are saying that, and it is a nice and hopeful image that all of us move to a new level. The question that I would ask myself is, how does that honor free will? Because many people may not want to move to another level. They're just happy in where they're at, and they want to keep doing the patterns they're doing. And then I asked questions about that, and I asked about ascension.
Well, you know, Lynn, this is Daphne speaking. I think people do have free will, absolutely. I think what David was talking about is that the Earth herself, she's decided to ascend, and in fact, she did. You know, all the information that I've been gathering for the past few months, Gaia is definitely in 5D right now. And we have a choice whether we as individuals will resonate and calibrate our own frequencies with that 5D and start living the unity consciousness or not. And depending on our own individual choices and also on our karmic template, our karmic track, we'll experience life supposedly accordingly. I mean, this is kind of my own experiential take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think free will is definitely at play. Supposedly, if you look at the kind of astrological and astronomical divine timing of everything, the more that you hang on to those old dualistic paradigms, the more that you hang on to hierarchy, the more you hang on to kind of the material foundations, the old 3D foundations, the more, you know, as we head into 2015, 2017, 2020, you will find your foundations rock to the core, because the frequencies of Earth are no longer resonating in a way that supports those old dualistic structures. And I just know from my own experience, you know, in the body, you know, I've got this heavy-duty Capricorn moon. I've got a, I guess I've got a past life track that's, you know, it's all wrapped up with, like, old foundations of the United States, Massachusetts, Ivy League schools, all that old stuff. It's not on a psychological level. It must be in my track, in my template, because on a physical level, I know that I'm doing work with 1D right now, the mineral kingdom, and it is really hard. It is really hard. I feel that I'm doing grid opening work, grid anchoring work, working with shifting stuff down in New Zealand, down in Australia, Europe the last few days. And this is really physically, you know, my spirits are good. I feel happy. I'm really wonderful to connect with everybody on this line. But physically, my body's, I mean, I feel like I'm being terrorized. This is and it's not a matter of not cooperating with it, because I am in every way that I know how. But I think there are things happening for some of us. I also think that different light workers, different path pavers, different star seeds have different contracts. They have different divine contracts. And depending where you are geographically, depending, you know, who you're connected in with, depending, you know, what templates you're ushering in, a lot of us are anchors. A lot of us, there's a woman, Denise LaFay, who works with a lot of Lisa Renee's people. And she basically says that we are density transmuters. You know, certain people have made contracts to transmute density. And I can feel that in my own kind of calibration and in my own place. It's like I go into places and I transmute. And it's, you know, I drive wind crazy because I basically, you know, chew his ear off, and I bitch, and I go, I'm tired. You know, this is hard work. and he goes, well, what are you doing? You're just sitting there. I go, well, it might look like I'm just sitting here, but, you know. So, you know, it's like Carla said, dancing with the catalyst. I love it. I love it. You know, we all have different dances. I mean, I really envy Terry. Terry can go into places and, like, nothing fazes her. You know, she can keep up her energy, and she's really consistent, and she can just keep on going. And I go, God love her. You know, I just, so anyway, I guess, you know, we're all being served up a different kind of pizza, you know, so whatever.
Well, you know what? I think I told you, I don't know, I'm on vacation. I'm about 20 miles from Sedona in a little small town called Camp Verde, of about 10,000 people. And I always like this little town. It's like one of those places that when you were young and you thought when you grew up America would be a certain way, this town is kind of like that. It's like everyone knows each other and they're friendly and they're really cool. So I went into Denny's last night, and I mean, there were like four or five waitresses there. And I had never seen so many waitresses that were like beaming, having fun. They were all like, I hope they're not listening now.
Nobody had sore feet, huh?
And nobody had sore feet. And they were like genuinely radiant, and they were also bouncing off of each other. And it's like I said, these guys understand how to work energy. And they don't know anything about the chef. They don't know anything about anything except that they've learned to share energy in Denny's. It was like it was a group of wanderers that had come together. And they don't know they're wanderers. And they don't even know anything metaphysical. And yet they were doing it. And I started talking to them. And they immediately all loved me. I mean, they were around the table. And, I was telling them about themselves. And it was fun.
And just
okay?
Be this.
Yeah. I know Terry has seen me do this many
times. St. Francis with the birds,
Yeah. Terry has seen me many times. Go into a restaurant, and there really are a lot of wanderers out there. There really are a lot of crystal children,
Mm-hmm.
And when I see one, and we catch a little smile, I look at them and I say, "Did you know you're from another dimension?" And do you know they love it when I say that? Some part of them knows. I remember when I used to go to college in Berkeley, I used to sit on the steps of the student union, and I was totally anonymous, and I kept thinking, don't these people know who I am? And it wasn't exactly like an ego thing. It wasn't an ego thing. It was like I was radiating my energy into that whole plaza, and I didn't even know the vocabulary for that at that time. I say radiating energy, but I didn't know the vocabulary. I was doing that, and I said, don't these people know who I am? When is somebody going to sit down and discover me? Now, if I sat down with me and I said, did you know you're from another dimension? Whoever would have said that would have had my rapt attention. Mm. Now, the thing is, you got to say it with the right energy. If you just go around and say it with the wrong energy, well, experiment in another town besides your town, okay? because you don't want to be branded as a wacko. But it's a fun way to open up the door to a conversation, particularly with young people. Older people, even if they are wanderers, they probably have a harder time. But young people love it. They love it when somebody says, and you have to be authentic. You have to look at them. They got to have that wild look, that deep look. But we started talking about ascension symptoms. And Daphne uses the word ascension. And the reason I don't like to use the word is because it sounds like you're going to disappear from this realm and that there's going to be a rapture. And that may be true, and when that happens, I will be very happy to participate in it. But when I've asked questions about that in our channelings, they said, and this makes sense to me, the majority of people are not going to qualify for that kind of experience because in order to qualify, all your chakras have to be open slightly more than half. And, the way this works is somehow there's a part of you in the astral or higher that pulls your body through, and most people are not going to qualify for that. But many people will qualify for what they called, our sources called, an astral ascension, which meant you would die, a normal death or an abnormal death. But when you died, if your heart chakra was open slightly more than half, you would then graduate this realm. You would be worked on the other side by angels, angelic beings, and that would cause you not to have to come back to the 3D realm. So that is my story, and I don't like to use the word ascension because it's too much of a buzzword, and a lot of New Age people are using it, and I don't think they ever really explain what they mean, because the connotation of the word ascension, ascend, is to me that you disappear from this realm and you end up somewhere else. And then when you say that, it kind of hooks people because they say, well, if he's a spiritual person, he's talking about ascension. I want to make sure that I don't miss that train. But nonetheless, whatever you call it, whether you call it graduation, ascension, transitioning, everyone agrees on one thing, most everyone, that is that there is another dimension, that's a different level than this one, and some people, when they leave this realm, are going to end up in a higher dimension. Now, when you read, I think it's in the raw material, it's really not one size fits all. It's like not everyone ends up in 4D Earth or 5D Earth or 6D Earth or whatever.
Right.
We can go to where the furthest reach that our energy can reach to. It would be like how much gas is in your car. You have enough gas to go 400 miles, and you don't have to go 400 miles. You might only go 100 miles because you think you can do more service there. You can help people. You see, this is free will. So when you're on the other side and you leave this realm, on some level, you can make a decision. If you have enough gas for 400,
you want to know what the Ra described this as?
Yeah,
they call it the steps of light, Wynn. And it's not a matter of choosing where you're going to be of service. It's a simple walk into the sunlight. Every step is a little bit further along the line of density. And at a point which is not expressed, you move from third density third density to fourth density. You're using a slightly different word, but it means the same thing. Dimension, density, you use interchangeably. Mm-hmm. So people are just walking into the sunlight. It gets a little bit more sunny. The light is a little bit more intense with every step. And angels guard this process so you can't fall off the edge of the step. You can't make a misstep. You got all the time in the world. So you're walking up these steps of light. And there's a point at which it stops feeling good. It starts feeling like, gosh, this is going to burn me. I don't really want to go any further. And that's where you're most comfortable. That's where you've gotten to in this incarnation. That's how much light you've learned to use comfortably. And maybe it's in third density, maybe it's in fourth density. But wherever you stop and wherever you're comfortable, that is where you've chosen your next incarnation. And if it's in fourth density, if it's across the line, you've graduated. If it's still in third density, you will go to another planet that is just starting third density, and you'll go through a lot of incarnations in third density, just like you have already done, still learning to make that choice. That's what the raw sessions say. That's the nature of graduation. It's nothing punishing. No judgment whatsoever, and you make the choice. You choose just exactly how much light feels good to you. And wherever you stop, whether it's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, that is where you have the right to be from then on. And a lot of wanderers that were sixth density wanderers, I would not be surprised if they didn't just walk right back into sixth density because they really enjoy the higher vibrations of light, and this third density light has always felt off to them. So they've spent a lot of time in higher densities in meditation.
You know, when people hear this, most everyone says, I want to go to as high as I can get. Everyone says that in their mind. I want to get up there. And they want to get up there because it sounds like a prize. It sounds like a gift. But...
And yet what you really want to do is be comfortable.
Yeah, and they also don't want to let go. They don't want to let go of attachments in this realm. And it's kind of funny to watch because somebody will say they want to graduate, and then they'll be saying, I'm so worried about my son. What am I going to do about my son? He's doing drugs. Who's going to be there for him? That's exactly what will keep you in this realm, okay? It's like, in an unconditional way, you hold the space for somebody, but you don't let them pull you out of the higher flow with sympathy or worry. It's just a very fine line to care, but to be detached. Because all the things you hold on to, even, I don't know if you can relate to this, Carla, but there's even holding on to failure, the fear of success. Because if you got really successful, all your friends would be jealous of you. And you don't want... And you like those people, and you don't want them to be jealous. This goes on a subconscious level. So people are always talking about their plans and what they're doing to the very people that would be jealous. And how can you be successful if you're attached to all these friends that are jealous? And can you be honest enough to look at them? And can you be honest enough to say, if you were really successful, would they still be your friend? Would you be their friend? And oftentimes, people hold certain kinds of friendships in place because of fear. Because if they didn't love me, nobody would. And so, you lock yourself in, is what I'm trying to say. You lock yourself into these lower realms by those thoughts, and you wonder, and you pray, God, I want to get out of here. And yet, you won't let go of those things.
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous skill and goodness in practicing. It isn't a detachment where you don't care. It's a detachment where you respond to the need by knowing that all is well, by affirming the lack of strength of whatever catalyst it is that is holding your son down. If it's drugs, you spend time simply affirming that there is no power in drugs. You spend time affirming that your child is completely worthy of being able to realize that there is no power in drugs. And so you do these affirmations, and instead of worrying, you see, you know, you spend time holding the light where the healing takes place. This is the way some healers work all the time, is they simply sit there and they know the truth, and they know it with such clarity that they are able to transfer that knowledge to the person, and suddenly the drugs have no power. And they're able to walk away. They're able to be rehabbed.
You're not talking about pharmaceutical drugs, right? You're talking about...
Yeah, I'm talking about pharmaceuticals or alcohol or whatever. You can even be addicted to an idea. You can be addicted to so many different things. Physical, emotional addiction is, you know, that which is binding you, and you're needing to be free of that. So addiction takes many forms. But what you were talking about was being held back because you're worried about your son, right?
Right.
So I was saying that instead of spending time worrying, you spend the time on that, but you spend the time positively making these affirmations on behalf of your son, knowing that all is well, knowing that healing is very real, knowing that the substance abuse, knowing that the substance that is being abused has no power.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way Christian Science practitioners work, I believe. They simply sit there and they spend time with the client and they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's no preaching, there's no judgment, and there's actually nothing much in the physical at all. And yet
mm-hmm.
healings have taken place for, you know, a century and more.
Even just going into a meditation.
Yes.
You know, every Sunday we do this, Carla, where we tap into the power of group energy. And we create. And, you know, it kind of blows me away that we do this because, you know, most people do it in the room and people where their energies are together. We have people all over the world and I don't see them. And I get so many emails because the power of invocation, the power of intention.
Yes.
And everyone agrees, and trust me, and we move into a space that's really expanded, that people can feel. And oftentimes, I get emails of people that have had phenomena, like this computer suddenly changed color in the middle of it, you know?
Wow.
And then Terry is talking, and they say, yes, that was us, and you can feel us, and we're beaming into your realm. And it's like moving into the experience of the law of one as a reality, not as an idea, and not as a mental idea, but where you can feel other people's energies. And this is a tricky thing, because when you start feeling energy of the things that are invisible, you have to be sure that you have a lot of protection around that, and a lot of love to start with, so you don't get anything negative in the mix, because it will ride in on those energies, on distortions in your field. But we do it, and when I first started doing it, I was afraid that would happen, and it didn't. By and large, it didn't happen. It's an amazing experience. So when that group energy is established, you can project that energy and surround someone you care about. And I've come to the conclusion, you're not just saying a prayer, you're actually including them in the love. And occasionally I get an email, like I took my relationship with my son in the light, and he called me the next day. And we haven't talked for 3 months. So, you know, I'm doing this by learning and watching and seeing over and over again the amazing results it has when you do it. And then it becomes a reference point. It's like a new skill, how to become one with everything. And, you know, you do it one time on a conference call. And you do it a second time, and before you know it, the call is over, but the energy is still going, and you're projecting that out, okay?
You know, it occurs to me, Wynn, what Daphne was talking about earlier, it would be great if we could do some conference calls for planet Earth, you know, because there are different places where the grid... it's a feminine grid, and it doesn't just come down plunk into the earth like the old masculine grid. This is a newer grid, and it's more hovering over the earth in a way, but it also needs to be anchored into the earth. And there are different grids for different parts of the earth. Wouldn't it be great if we could, like, Australia one time and take Europe another time? And I don't know. I think it'd be great if we could focus, you know, do a little helping of the planet, too, because the planet's
why don't you sit through one of my two-hour Sunday calls sometime? Sit through the whole thing.
You know, I didn't sit through the whole thing, but I did listen to part of it, and it was really inspiring, Wynn. I think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. I couldn't be more excited about what you're doing.
It's definitely healing. You didn't listen to the part, though. I don't think you stayed on long enough where I did the healing part. You know, I usually talk. No, And
you were talking.
Even if you, yeah.
Yes. I wanted to tell you that I had to go, and I couldn't find a place to get in.
Yeah. You know, even if you come in 45 minutes into it, and about 45 minutes in, I do this guided visualization where everyone experiences, not everyone, but many people in the line experience the feeling of energies coming together. And then we invite these sources to join with those energies. And it's unbelievable the feelings that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Even myself, I go on that and I think, is it going to happen? I'm not making that happen. I'm just saying the words with a high intention. And there's this energy that comes down to your crown chakra and starts moving through your body. It goes into the earth. And you can move the energy.
So you're saying you're already doing that.
I'm doing it. And then we send it around the earth. And, you know,
listening it only to the ring of fire, and the information I'm getting is that there are other places on the earth, especially Europe right now, and Australia, and New Zealand. There are very specific places that are having some, there's some very, very dark, you know, there's some dense stuff there that really needs, I mean, of course you should continue to stabilize the ring of fire, but there are also other places we need to be transmuting density.
I'm open. For you and Carla, if you're on that line, to come up with things and participate.
Yeah.
Take over.
It was really weird, you know. Today I was cleaning out tax files, and I came across a very carefully drawn set of grids for planet Earth. The feminine grids instead of the masculine grids. And what that was doing in the tax information, I don't know. But I felt sure, you know, when this came up, that I was supposed to mention it. Especially after
that. Carla, that makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That has to do with the overhaul of the old Capricornian tax structure. It has to do with Pluto. It has to do with the eighth house stuff. It has to do with Capricorn stuff. And it has to do with the power of the land and its connectedness with the 1D and the fiat banking system versus the real gold and real silver standard banking systems, which are in incredible flux right now. There are billions of dollars being moved out of the U.S. actually just in this last week. And exiting to places like Switzerland, going overseas. So anyway, that's very interesting.
You know, Daphne, I wanted you to share with people some of the symptoms you're going through. When you're an unusual person, so you're more sensitive to energy. You're more connected to the planetary and solar system energies and even star energies. And there's probably people that are going to listen to this, a few that have similar things that you do, that are going through these changes in their own unique way, and they might relate to it if you want to. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. Physical symptoms. I've always been too sensitive for physical comfort. That's a given. I also was really physical and athletic for a good part of my young adulthood. Did a lot of hiking. I was a pretty dedicated runner there for several years up until my mid to late 30s. Also had a lot of body work. I had a lot of Rolfing, a lot of cranial sacral therapy, a lot of Reiki, a lot of deep tissue massage. So I was really pretty cognizant of the body mind spirit connection. I also had this incredible love of nature. I was a national park nut. I mean, I still am. And then what I started understanding a bit more there's this concept of the Earth herself having these hubba bodies. And there's something in some esoteric systems, there's something called the planetary antakarana, or the planetary logos, the planetary monad, and that as the human body system, as the chakras are sufficiently cleared, and these hubba bodies, supposedly we have seven of them as a human being, as these are activated, you as a human soul start to activate the monadic consciousness. Your physical body starts to literally plug into Gaia, to the grids, at a planetary logos level. So what this means is that you as a physical person, when you start moving around and you've got your hubba bodies opened up, you are not just moving to the grocery store. You are moving everywhere you've ever been gets moved to the grocery store. You're not just sitting at the Starbucks. It's like, you know, every contact. You become, let's see, how would I describe this? It's almost as if at the center of the Earth, and there's a pencil, and it goes all the way up, and you're sitting at the very top of the pencil on the eraser. The point of the pencil is down at the core of the Earth. And everywhere you move, there's a huge interdimensional swath of energy that's literally being integrated and moved through the grid system as you start to move. Now, everybody does this at varying degrees of frequency and focus, depending on what your karmic track is and what your alliances are, what your focus is. And I guess that through time and just the physical part of it, it can be, let's see, lately it's been feeling like tremendous pressure, like I'm walking around with an anvil on my head. Mm-hmm. I also feel like from the back of my head, my skull going down my spine, I can actually feel there are huge, I would say, conical kind of vortices of energy coming out. There is a woman named Sandra Walter. She's up in Mount Shasta. Wynn is familiar with her work. She has worked a bit with this kind of stuff, and I do believe she understands a lot of the dynamics of this. There are people working, you know, at these kinds of levels. And again, there's no value judgment when I say this. It's just some of us are working this planetary stuff really physiologically. I've been fortunate. I don't have horrible nausea. There are a lot of people in Lisa Renee's group, Denise Lefay's group. A lot of people are they are out. I mean, they can't eat anything. They're throwing up. They're dizzy. Some people have been on disability now for many years. My symptoms are severe, but they're not. I'm not bedridden or anything like that. And some people, it's been very, very severe. So it does change, you know, over time. It's intense stuff, and it's been a god. I mean, the internet is a godsend because you know, for a long time I thought I can't be the only person going through this, and I found that I wasn't. You know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other people that are also experiencing these kinds of things, and you know, information. You know, makes you at least feel better. If nothing else, you can email people and get their forums, and you can get the support that you need. But again, everyone's situation is unique. Everyone experiences it a little bit differently. You know, food has become a challenge. One of the things that I've noticed lately is I can hardly eat anything, and the body only wants things like fresh fruit or juice. Or you know, like vegetable. There's very little animal protein at all in my diet, and I used to really like chicken and fish, and you know, once in a while a steak. But I was a vegetarian for a long time, and I always tended away from that. So I don't know if there are any rights or wrongs. A lot of it's very experimental, but it's you know, this situation for some people, not for everyone, can be very, very physical. So I don't know if that's what you wanted me to touch on there, Wynn, but...
I wanted you to say whatever you wanted to say. Listen, we're coming to the end, and Michael asked a question, but I'm not going to ask your question because we are out of time. And I just want to make sure I fit in a little commercial because Carla and I are doing our second Law of One discussion. And anyone that's read the Law of One or tried to, most people get stuck because it is so profound and so deep. And you can take one paragraph and have absolutely no cognition. And you might have to read it 20 times to get it. Well, what we're doing is we're going through it and we're trying to make it simple so that you can integrate this material. And many people have recognized Carla's work as perhaps one of the breakthrough expressions from the other side in even the history of mankind, and certainly in the last couple hundred years. It's the body of knowledge of this group soul that we call the Ra group. It's made up of millions and billions of graduates of this realm and how they interface with us. And like here's a thing from Amazon. The history of psychic channeling and channel material has a long and checkered past. In the last century, at least in the West, the seriousness and quality of such work has been generally dismissed as something between a quaint parlor trick and delusional doomsday prophecies. The channeled entity Ra claims to be a higher dimensional being of collective intelligence with karmic connections to Earth and its ensouled inhabitants. The seeding of life in all its myriad forms. We talk about how our life was seeded. I mean, there is so much incredible information. And for many people, you know, information is not really what's important. What's really important is that many of you have a very old soul. And when you hear things that are true, it starts a cellular resonance and starts waking you up, because many of the episodes of the past that are talked about, you were there. And you don't remember you were there, but when you hear about it, you remember. And I think Doug is throwing us off. What's Doug? So we're finished. Thank you all. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Daphne. Thank you, Terry.
God bless everybody.
And
God bless you, Terry. God bless you, Carla. God bless you, Wynn.
Keep tuning in. We're going to get back to some angels soon. Okay.